Let's pay a visit to our friend Chad Finn, the Downtown Hall of Famer, writer extraordinaire for the Boston Globe, and proud Morse shipbuilder. Hello there, Chad.
That's a full bio. Hi, Rick.
Yeah, that's a lot going on there. How have you been?
I've been good. No complaints. Working my way through this Celtics book that comes out next year, and pretty bogged down in that along with the day job, but all good.
We were talking earlier about those August weekends in May, and at some point, and maybe it's because of working in education for years, you get to about mid-August and you start, I start protecting those weekends, thinking there aren't going to be that many great weekends left here.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Along with that, I kind of anticipate the September weather, because it's sneaky one of the great months to live here in New England and Maine, and it's been a little humid this year. I could do with a little less of that.
Well, I love September. I think September and even a good chunk of October is some of the best weather we get here in Maine. And I'm hoping the fact that we had rain for the first month of summer means that the goodness will continue into maybe late October this year.
That's how it works. Yeah, you always get the payoff at the end. It's completely fair, and the bad days, you end up with a lot of good ones at the end. It never deviates from that.
It's just like life itself.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. A few good days at the end to make up for everything else.
Seems to be the opposite in my experience.
Yes, yeah, I think so. Well, let's see where to begin. Let's talk Red Sox. First of all, they keep winning series. That's the name of the game. And they took care of business largely this week against two weak teams. The Yankees seem to be in awful shape. Tampa Bay has already lost their ace, and now who knows what will happen with Wander Franco. Why not the Red Sox?
This is a much lesser version of why not us.
Yes, yes.
Become, why can't we get the third wild card? I guess so. I mean, they've got a lot of things going right for them. And Chris Sale can avoid fracturing his shoulder blade again before October comes around. And Bayo's been in kind of a rut, not really a rut, but just giving up a few more home runs than he has been and was previously. If they can kind of get him back on track while also measuring his workload the way that they want to. And Whitlock looks like he did out of the pen the other day, and Hout comes back, and the young guys keep playing like they have. Cassis and Duran and Story looked great the other day, and I think his ability is widely underestimated around here. They might be able to make a run at it. There were 44 games left. That's still a pretty good chunk, although you can't afford those lulls that they've had all season where right when you start to believe in them, they lose three in a row or four in a row or something strange happens. So they can play with some consistency here. They've got a real chance at it, for sure.
Well, I think mediocrity is their friend. There are a lot of really challenged teams in the league, and they're all clustered within about four or five games of that wild card.
Yeah, I know. They've tried to... Major League Baseball has tried to turn their game into what the NHL is, or feels like everybody gets in, or at least has a chance to get in. I mean, it's not that extreme with 8 teams in each conference or anything, but it's changed the dynamic of a pennant race for sure. The wild card did that when they implemented it in 1995, and it's only the pennant races have really only lost luster for the most part as the years have gone on as teams sort of change what they're aspiring to do. It's not win 100 games in your division. It's win enough games to sneak into the playoffs, get home playoff dates, and maybe make a run like teams have. I mean, we've seen teams that didn't seem to have great regular seasons make a pretty good push in the playoffs. And unfortunately, the Major League Baseball allowing more teams in the playoffs and giving more teams the belief that they have a shot at the postseason has affected the big picture of the regular season and taken away from it. But hey, 10 years ago, we wouldn't be talking about the Red Sox as a team that had a shot at the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And now we are.
Did you watch any of that Peacock broadcast yesterday?
I did not. No, I've been in football mode, catching up on Hard Knocks and rewatching the Patriots preseason game and things like that. Honestly, I just wish the Celtics season would get here. That's what I want. But, I did not catch the Peacock game.
I don't know who was doing. They had Euclid on, and then I think somebody from the Tigers broadcast, whoever he was, he made Kevin Euclid sound like Dennis Eckersley.
Oh, really? Euclid's not bad.
He's okay.
You like Euclid?
Hey, yeah. He's all right. He has his moments. He's improving.
I know. He's 10% less funny than he thinks he is, but we all are.
Yes.
I don't know who that was. I know there used to be the analyst used to be Rod Allen, a former Maine Guides player. I always tie it back to Old Orchard Beach.
Nice.
Who got in a fist fight with a play-by-play guy during a game, and they both ended up losing their jobs. So I know it's not him now, but I can't remember off the top of my head who it would be. But we're a long way from the Rec Ekremi heyday around here right now.
Mm. All right, you mentioned football, Patriots, not too much excitement in game one. Well, save for the beginning of the Malik Cunningham era.
Yeah, what are they doing? It's interesting. I don't know if they're preparing for Jalen Hurts here or they're trying to put in a little package that they might be able to use with him, the 5 or 6 plays during the season to take advantage of his obvious incredible athleticism and variety of skills. I mean, quarterback, wide receiver, using him on special teams, all sorts of things. You'd think they could cook up something, some interesting way to get him involved for a couple of plays a game. But it's kind of hard to tell right now. Belichick's not saying anything. Shaughnessy just posted a column from Belichick's press conference today where he got one question from about Cunningham and just really didn't say anything. You know, or the usual cliches. He's got a long way to go, but he's working hard, you know, that kind of stuff. So really hard to tell what their intent is, but certainly looks like somebody that if they didn't keep him on the 53, he would get snatched up.
I'm amused by the narrative that's out there that somehow in the span of a couple of years, the game has passed Bill Belichick by and that he's now a weakness as a head coach. Because I looked around at the list of current NFL head coaches, some I didn't recognize, like Jonathan Gannon. Who the heck is Matt Eberflus? But look, there's still Ron Rivera's still out there. Mike McCarthy's got a job. Pete Carroll. I mean, Belichick's still doing fine, I think.
Yeah, people don't appreciate what they have, for sure. I mean, if you're one of those Patriots fans who's convinced now that it was mostly Brady or all Brady or whatever, go back and watch the first Super Bowl and go back and watch the last Super Bowl. You know, they shut down the Rams two different times with dynamic offenses in an incredibly clever way in both cases, beating the living daylights out of their receivers in the first one that led to rule changes, and then completely outwitting Sean McVay and Jared Goff in the second one where they would change their play after they were no longer allowed to communicate on the headset so that what he was looking at was not what he was expecting to see, and it just completely discombobulated this record-setting offense that they had. So Bill Belichick is the greatest coach in NFL history, bar none, and I'd still take him over anybody, even though, you know, he's made some strange decisions in recent years, particularly the Matt Patricia thing and you know, some of the draft picks and things like that. But I'll still take him over anybody. Just because you're so used to him and he's so familiar doesn't mean you should take him for granted.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. Well, tell us about Hard Knocks. I haven't seen it yet. I understand Aaron Rodgers, surprisingly, was the star of the first one.
Bit of a phony. He's straight.
What? What?
Not authentic. He strikes me as and I know everybody thought he was the next Alex Trebek and all of that. No, he's exactly what you think. I mean, we all know he didn't want them to do that. The Jets fought tooth and nail not to be on Hard Knocks. So now that they are, you know, Rodgers like buddies up to the cameraman. There's a real fourth wall breakage with this that he didn't always have in the past, where they're completely aware of everything going on around them. One player pulls down a microphone and talks into that. And they're so boring that they had to do a, I don't know, 7-8 minute bit on Liev Schreiber, the actor who does the voiceovers for those coming to camp in a helicopter, because Rodgers calls him the voice of God, which is just, you know, he has no idea who he is. He's just pretending like he does, like he's a super football guy. And if you watch this episode, this first episode, you'll be convinced that this Jets team is going to implode on itself by week 8.
Oh, I've thought that from the moment they signed Rodgers. I thought that
Me
because
too.
When it goes south, he's going to be blaming everybody else in the organization.
Yeah, they're kind of mean spirited in the way they joke with each other too. It's just something a little bit off about it. He clearly got annoyed. Mecole Hardman, who was with the Chiefs for the last few years, was kind of teasing about, yeah, you've been playing my whole life, and he kept going on, my entire life, you know, so cool to play with you. And beyond the fact that he played with Pat Mahomes, so he shouldn't be impressed by anybody, it was clear that Rodgers is getting a little bit annoyed with that, and Garrett Wilson was doing it too. And you can just see week six, not even week 8, week 6, he's going to be trashing his receivers off the record to somebody. Just wait and see.
That'll make it must-see TV right there. ESPN announced their basketball crews. Doc Rivers going to be one of their number one guys.
Yeah. No surprise. I reported it about a month ago. Doc still has a lot of ties back to Boston. We'll leave it at that. And ESPN didn't say it was wrong when I asked about it, so I knew that it was happening. But the surprise, there were a couple of surprises that I didn't know until recently, and then today with another one. Mark Jackson, as people found out at the end of July, is being let go, and originally he was supposed to be part of the number two team. Well, the number two team now is Ryan Rocco, who's really good, does a lot of WNBA, college basketball, really has worked his way up to that role. And J.J. Redick, who I think is better in small doses. We'll see how it goes with that. But Mark Jones, who was so bad in that Celtics-Sixers series last year, got demoted. He's been with ESPN since 1990. He's still going to be calling games for them, but not as many as he was before. So that was, out of everything that came out today, that was the thing we didn't know, that Mark Jones is being knocked down to a lesser role.
And Doris Burke, who is just absolutely one of the best in the business.
Yeah, I like her. I think she needs to stop calling players by their first name. That works against her because your team's getting beat and you hear her say, oh, Joel, and you're like, she's rooting for them, which happened in that Celtics-Sixers series, and our Sixers fans felt kind of that way about her referring to Jason and Jalen. Just call them by their last name, that part of it's resolved. She's really smart, great basketball mind, personable, deserves this opportunity. We'll see how it works with Doc. Because Doc did this back in 04 with ABC for a year in between his various coaching gigs. His voice wasn't as raspy then as it is now. I wonder if he's actually going to be able to handle the job because he's really lost his voice in recent years. Maybe Doris will be the one doing the brunt of the talking, but we'll see how it shakes out.
And, boy, it's going to be an interesting ride in this final season with the great Mike Gorman doing the Celtics games.
Yeah, trying to find out what's going on there. I know we got Mike for last year, and he's my favorite basketball broadcaster of all time. It's not only because he's the only one I remember really on the Celtics. I mean, I remember Gil Santos on TV a little bit, but pretty much my frame of reference is when Larry Bird came around, 78, 79, and then I think Mike came on 80, 81, 79, 80, somewhere in there with Tommy, and he's I just would take him calling a basketball game over Breen, over Merv Albert, anybody else I've heard. I also associate Mike with the Big East because he did Big Monday on ESPN for so long in the 80s and 90s. But kind of unresolved about how they're going to fill his role after this season. And I know Sean Grandy really wants it. I know he has some supporters over there, but that job is coveted. And it's going to be really fascinating to see what names try to throw there. Try to get involved with that and end up getting that spot. So we'll see how it shakes out. But for one more year, we get to enjoy Mike.
Absolutely. Well, Chad, enjoyed talking to you as we always do. Hope the rest of your day goes well. Are you on with the Portland guys today?
Always Monday with Javier and Eli, yes. We figured out the other day, I've been going on with them since the 2010 Olympics. Not Eli, because he was like 5 then. But it's been a while.
Well, you've been coming on with us since 2011.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love that. I love doing these two for sure. It's the best part of starting my week for sure and wrapping up the first day of the week.
Well, we certainly love it. We'll talk with you again in a couple of weeks. Thanks as always. Say hi to the Portland guys, and we'll check in with you soon.
I will. Take care, Rich.
Thanks, Chad. Chad Finn of The Globe.